Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, 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 yo! What is going on? My name's Hartzell. This right here, it's your KC Morning Show. A happy Tuesday to ya, to the KC Morning Hoes. Get used to this. Get used to these Tuesday shows, because we are doing a thing. Let's do a weather dealio. Your high today, 57 degrees, sunny skies, 57 winds out of the west, southwest, yes. 5 to 10 miles an hour, your championship UV index on this, your best local podcast according to The Pitch. Also, according to you, Kansas City, 2 out of 10, your UV index. Your sunset tonight, 455. Your low tonight, 40 degrees. Some clouds this evening, giving way to mainly clear skies overnight. You love to see it, don't you? You love to see it. Before we get to that brand new segment, I just want to say thank you. I got a new gig yesterday. Gonna be working over at KCUR. So excited. Going back home. Back to the alma mater. I'm like a coach coming home. I'm very excited. Very excited. And I still get to do the podcast, so that ain't gonna change. Still get a chance to go back to the buzz if that happens. If and when, but mostly if that ever happens. Sporting KC, we still get to do all of that. I get to stay in town. That's what I'm most excited about. So thank you, Kansas City. You were very, very nice. Yesterday, your comments were just, yeah, real nice. You've been very good to me. So I will always be in debt to you, and hopefully I can repay you the favor sometime. So let's do this. Let's get to a brand new segment, shall we? On the show today, we run it back. Let's go back in time. A little Kansas City history. What's that quote from Back to the Future? Let's see where we are. Let's see where we're going. Let's see where we've been. Let's do that. So every Tuesday right here on your KC Morning Show, we are going to run it back. B-A-K-C. Do you see what we did there? Yeah, thank you. We love to hijack a hashtag. We ride coattails on this show. The Chiefs already made this cool. So yeah, we're going to run it back and we're going to kick it off with my buddy, my friend, my mentor. His name is David Hayden. He is an author, a marketer. We're going to talk about Boss Tom. Let's talk the 10-year plan, shall we? This honestly turned out even better than I thought. So I hope you dig it. Full show back in your feeds tomorrow. We got Kitty. We got words of wisdom. We got you. It's going to be a hump day. Baby! Let's run it back. My name's Hartzell. It's your KC Morning Show.
On January 11th, 1970, victory belonged to Hank Stram and his Kansas City Chiefs.
TV9 News Special Report. Close up, the flood of 77.
From the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri, it's Milwaukee Bucks against the Kansas City Kings.
Now Kansas Cityans must decide what happens next. What is to follow the city's Holy Week riots?
I am here at the American Royal World Series of Barbecue.
Daryl Motley awaits, and the Kansas City Royals are world champions. Kansas City.
David, my brother, can you hear me, Dave? Are you there?
I am here.
Are you ready for this, Dave? Are you ready to run it back, my friend? I couldn't think of anybody else but you to do this, to kick this thing off. We're going to go back in time, Dave. We're going to paint a picture. And I wanted you to kick this thing off because you are someone who is just as much of a Kansas City nerd as I am, but not just like the trivia nerd. Like, you really enjoy this stuff. Like, you like to tell the stories. And that's what we're here for, Dave. Let's tell some KC stories, my friend.
I don't think that there is any story that's more relevant to the situation we're in now.
Oh, yeah?
With the economy, with the pandemic, with everything else, than looking back in Kansas City 90 years to the Great Depression and how we made it through that and how Kansas City not only survived but became a vibrant, thriving city that was drawing in talent from elsewhere, where Walt Disney came to Kansas City to sell postcards because people in Kansas City could afford to buy postcards, where Ernest Hemingway came to Kansas City to write for the Kansas City Star because people still bought newspapers. We had a vibrant jazz scene because you could get gigs in Kansas City because of the leadership of some great men in our history.
Did you find some parallels, my friend? Are you telling me you found some parallels to real life now?
I'm saying as our leaders in Kansas City sit literally in a building built as the solution to our last economic crisis, taking lessons from the past is a great way to lead to the future.
So if we're going to talk KC history, I feel like you got to talk Boss Tom, right? We got to talk Tom Pendergast. And Dave, you said, you hit me up and said you wanted to talk about Boss Tom's 10-year plan.
Kansas City had grown to 500,000 people and was the largest city in the U.S. westward to Los Angeles. Its diverse economy spurred ongoing growth, and Pendergast's consortium of machine-favored contracting companies provided the equipment and manpower to build roads and erect buildings.
Well, let's start by saying that Boss Tom, it's what we colloquially know him as, but nobody would ever call him that.
Oh, okay. My mistake, sir.
His friends would call him TJ. But Tom Pendergast was a great political leader. He wasn't a mayor. He wasn't a mobster. He was the head of the Jackson County Democratic Club, had an office at 1908 Main Street, sitting right between modern day where the Rieger and Michael Smith's is, just a little nondescript two-story building that was the most important building in the history of Kansas City. Because from that building, Boss Tom not only controlled city politics, but he got passed, with the help of some friends from both sides of the aisle, something called the 10-year plan. Prior to Boss Tom, in the times of Big Jim Pendergast, his older brother, we would refer to Kansas City as being a city of rabbits and goats. The goats were the immigrants, the refugees, the people who moved in from the country hoping to seek a better life in Kansas City. They were the Pendergast people. You know, they were called goats because they were scruffy and rough, but the joke was, you either lived in the type of neighborhood where you had rabbits in your yard or you had goats in your yard, and the Democrats were the goats. And Boss Tom came up with this plan and enlisted the help of the rabbit's rabbit, a guy named Conrad Mann. Nobody in Kansas City remembers the name of, but he was the head of the Chamber of Commerce. He was the man who brought the Fraternal Order of Eagles here and called Kansas City the heart of America.
Okay.
He brought in the 1928 Republican Convention.
You can build a humane measures of security, of increasing standards of living for all the people. You can inspire their devotion to American ideals. You can and you will hold a light to a confused world, the lamp of liberty. Republicans, are you prepared to go into this fight?
He was a Republican. He was a Hoover Republican. And in that time, he was the head of what was known as the Committee of 100. There were 100 civic leaders, people of all walks of life, that tried to come up with plans for the city. And one of the first things he did as the head of the Committee of 100 was make it the Committee of 1,000. So we brought together 1,000 people who wanted to be involved in crafting a future for Kansas City. People from all backgrounds, people from both sides of troops. This wasn't a segregated group. Kansas City was one of the most integrated cities politically, especially in the Democratic Party, because Boss Tom pushed aside the Dixiecrat tendencies that were developing in other cities in the Midwest and said, no, we need to build this coalition of people who want to see good things done and see government work for them. And so the combination, Conrad Mann and Boss Tom, came up with 14 different areas that they wanted to address in Kansas City, and together came up with a bond issue that they released in 1931, over a year before FDR was even elected. This was still during Hoover. This was still when we were denying that we needed any sort of public support, and worked very hard to get this public bond passed. It ended up being about $32 million worth of local money, with some county and matching federal funds brought it to $50 million in the modern day equivalent of a $7.5 billion plan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, some serious money was being spent, and they pushed it through. It passed by a 4-1 margin. But what we got for that money was municipal auditorium. We got the city hall that still to this day is where the mayor sits, is where the council meets. We got the old federal courthouse, the Jackson County courthouse, improvements throughout the city, like, well, arguable improvements, like paving Brush Creek, built the farmer's market. But beyond that, we built streets. Things like Southwest Traffic Way, Southwest Boulevard, Winter Road, you know, major connectors in the city that we still use to this day. We started water treatment. We started curbside waste removal to where you weren't responsible for taking the trash to the dump or burning it anymore. We built hospitals. we built 14 different inner city high schools. Lincoln High, I mean, high schools that are still in use, we built because we knew that the key was if people didn't have jobs, they couldn't spend money. And so we hired out-of-work people locally and put them to work building our city. When you give somebody a job to, you know, to do and get, and they get an income from it, it doesn't just help that industry or that person. They had money to go out, buy a cup of coffee and eat at a restaurant and go to a jazz club and drink a beer. Boss Tom made sure that there was never a successful prosecution of the Volstead Act in Kansas City. Prohibition really never came here.
In all these stories you're saying, it's always Boss Tom at the center of it, but I don't hear, you know, the mayor or the governor. Who was in charge? I guess, did it even matter?
That's a great question. Whoever Boss Tom decided. I'm sure that they did a great job of whatever Boss Tom told them to. Henry McElroy was a more significant figure. He was the first city manager. He answered to the city council, but the city council was made up of Pendergast loyalists. So That was more important. If Boss Tom supported you, you were going to be able to get things done.
So what were the results then, Dave? How did this work out?
Kansas City thrived. We talk about the Paris of the Plains. No point was that more true relative to the rest of the United States than during the 1930s. We hear about the Kansas City jazz scene that came about when people from around the country, musicians from around the country, heard that you can get gigs in Kansas City. Boss Tom's kept the clubs open. Boss Tom's made sure that you could get a drink in those clubs because he understood that that was an important part of being a thriving city that attracted money from outside, but also that after a hard day's work, sometimes you deserve a beer.
Been saying that since Jump Street, Dave.
You got to have a place where, you know, where everybody knows your name. Boss Tom, who didn't drink, he didn't like jazz. None of these things were for him. None of these things were important to him. But he understood the value to the city. And so rather than vilifying booze and clubs and things like that, he actually supported them. Another great piece of Kansas City history, as Fiorello LaGuardia, who was mayor of New York, went around and actually banned pinball.
City. Like the pinball, like pinball machines.
Pinball wasn't legal in New York City until the 70s.
What?
Over 2,000 cities in the United States, cities and towns, banned pinball because of LaGuardia's push in believing that children would spend their lunch money on pinball, and the idea of gambling behind pinball was so prominent that it was viewed as an evil thing.
He succeeded in getting pinball declared an illegal game of chance, and in 1940, the city banned the game.
I'm gonna stop it.
This, of course, drove pinball machines underground to seedy parlors and even seedier strip clubs.
Boss Tom, on the other hand, referred to them as trade stimulators.
That's amazing.
And made sure that Kansas City was the largest city in the United States to not outlaw pinball.
You're saying, Dave, that Boss Tom is a gamer, is what you're trying to say.
Boss Tom wasn't. He was a gambler.
He liked
to bet horses. And that's what ended up being his downfall. But he understood that it was important to help people thrive, to help businesses thrive.
So I'm hearing all this, and I'm curious, could Boss Tom push this through in different times? You've got Depression-era conditions. Obviously, there's parallels between that and now a pandemic that we're in now. You know, is this something that we could do again? Could we run this back? I mean, was this something that was uniquely his era, or could we do something like this now?
I'm going to say that there were two factors that were more significant than the Depression. Obviously, the need for work and jobs and being able to get cheap labor and, you know, things like that were important. But realize we passed massive, massive bond issue that was asking people to pay more property taxes during the Great Depression. Okay, that's where as much as the Depression was a benefit, it was also a huge hurdle to convince people to do more and pay more when they had less to make the city great. What happened was there are two factors that matter. The first is that we had very strong political leadership, and is that we went both sides of the aisle and managed to pull people together to feel like this wasn't a partisan issue. This was a Kansas City issue. So whether you were a rat or a goat, this was going to benefit you. And the second, and I go back to Conrad Mann, a Republican, the head of the Chamber of Commerce. But he had this, you know, Council of 1,000 and people from all across the city, people from every neighborhood, people of every race, people of all sorts of different immigration statuses that came together and said, not we need to build another hotel because it might help us get more conventions, or we need to add some more boost to Arrowhead Stadium to make it more modern. See, too often today we think about Kansas City as what it is and ways that we can slightly improve it or make it less inconvenient. We can talk about, you know, how awful it is they dig up utilities after a road's been paved, you know, 2 months earlier and get really upset about that. But that wasn't what Pendergast and Mann were doing. They were saying, what should Kansas City be? Can we take this plot of land that has a rundown airport and make it the hub of aeronautics for the entire United States, to where Trans World Airlines relocates to put their hub right here in Kansas City, 5 minutes from downtown? We said, could we build an auditorium that will draw in conventions from around the world and not make it just a generic box, but make beautiful facades on the outside of it? Can we put an opera house inside of it that still has marble to this day? If you walk into the opera house at Municipal Auditorium, it is a beautiful, beautiful building still to this day, with touches that we would never put on a public building again. Could we build grand high schools? Could we build streets that really united the city, not just north-south, but also east and west? Something that people still look at and go, wow, you know, 90 years later, it's still the building that we use. Can we do these things that make Kansas City more than just a little bit better? There's never been a time when there wasn't division. There's never been a time where we all saw eye to eye. I mean, racially, we were divided. Women had just gotten the right to vote. Immigration was a tremendous issue. There were so many things that divided us, yet we all decided that it was in our best interest to come together to create something better than what we had, and we were all willing to do our part to make it happen.
So what is the legacy of the 10-year plan? We talked about it a little bit. Obviously, this has the New Deal written all over it. It's got shades of, you know, the Great Society of the 60s. What is the legacy ultimately in Kansas City looking back at Boss Tom's 10-year plan?
We still have a lot of pieces. And I think I've been to half a dozen graduations at Municipal. I went and saw Book of Mormon there. You know, we still have pieces and we still have lessons. And I think that's what's important. When you look at the Committee of 1,000, a great number of them were from the African-American community. They brought projects to the other side of truce. They brought projects to their community, and Boss Tom supported that. We can get real deep into it of General Hospital 1 and 2 and how we brought about having some sort of racial equality in healthcare in Kansas City. But Boss Tom eschewed what was happening elsewhere in the country of the Democratic Party becoming the party of the Klan. You know, he said no. He wouldn't have that as part of his coalition. He helped to make sure that when Birth of a Nation was showed in Kansas City, it was censored. I mean, things like that try to bring the city together in terms of the 1930s, granted, but more progressive than we would find in nearly any other city. And the great piece of untold history behind all of this, I've talked a lot about Conrad Mann, you know, the Republican, the capital of industry. He was a huge man. He was a bear. He was very tall and very intimidating, very gregarious, and was seen as the captain of industry, founded the Kansas City Symphony. You know, was really a huge part of our history. And it wasn't until he died in 1943, he wasn't an American citizen. He was still a German citizen.
You've blown my mind in this conversation so many times, Dave. I want you to know this.
That was one that I had to learn. And no one knows why. It wasn't something he ever discussed. But Kansas City's greatness has always been our diversity. And we've got to bring people together. We've got to bring ideas together. We've got to bring both sides together and choose leadership and choose to make something happen again. Not just to make our city a little bit better, but to make our city something special again.
And pay these folks to do it. Pay Kansas Cityans to make it special. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, just stop and go to Barney House Plaza and look up at the old Memorial Hall. The beauty of that building that doesn't come from having outside contractors, you know, and to a huge extent, it came from people who immigrated to America who had these skills that they wanted to put to work. If you look at the outside of City Hall, there are so many extras, so many different pieces. That work was done by people who were grateful to have jobs building their city.
David Hayden, see, this is why we run it back, my friend. You want to keep doing this? I love this. This is great.
Let's do a whole episode on arcades. I will postulate that Kansas City is as integral to the history of arcades as any city on earth. And actually, arcades are as much of the DNA of Kansas City in the last 100 years as booze or jazz.
Dave, what a tease that was. We're going to do it. Pinballs and KC, a relationship unlike any other. Who would have thought?
It's amazing stuff. There is so much great, great history in this town that we've forgotten about. I love to read the stories. I love to learn the stories. I love to research the stories. But most importantly, I love to tell the stories, because when you tell the stories and you learn about how great the city used to be, you realize that we can be that way again.
Kansas City, here we come, says David Hayden. Kansas City, here we come. Dave, you know what? Listen, you told me earlier you didn't want to plug the book, but you know what? Plug your book, man, because you are excellent. Can you sell some extra copies? What's the name of the book so people can go and find it?
Oh, I wrote a book years ago about waiting tables. I was that annoying waiter that would come over to your table and tell you all sorts of history of Kansas City. If you're from out of town, I spent a lot of years working in the jazz club at the Majestic on Broadway, telling stories of old Kansas City. I know it's hard out there right now. Need a book on how to make better tips. It's called Tips for Improving Your Tips. And solotips2book.com.
Dave, I think you have been, have you been on every show I've ever had?
I was the first one to be on the last show.
You were?
I was getting a little nervous. I mean, I never been on the morning show. I was kind of feeling like maybe You weren't interested in having your old buddy Dave. Maybe I'd done really bad on all the other ones.
What are you talking about? You were part of Hartzell After Dark. You now know Hartzell in the daytime. You've employed me.
No, I appreciate it, man. You do great things for Kansas City. You bring people together in the history. I mean, in the mindset of giving people a voice, letting them talk, and talking about what matters to the common person in Kansas City. And I appreciate what you do.
Oh, well, thank you, brother. Let's tell those KC stories, my friend. We say it every day on this show. It's a good day to be a Kansas City. And what do you think, Dave?
It's always a good day to be a Kansas City. And the thing is, I still believe, and I know you do too, that the best day to be a Kansas City and hasn't come yet.
Going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
The KC Morning Show.